Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, live from Parkway Tavern. This is the Tony Sanchez Show, presented by Fenway Toyota. Also by Parkway Tavern, the official home of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. This is your home for the UNLV Rebels. Now with Caleb Herring and Steve Cofield, here's the voice of the Rebels, Russ Langer.
No Russ tonight. Russ is also the voice of the Aviators. So Russ at the end of the baseball season, closing things out. Maybe playoffs. Steve Cofield in for Russ Langer. I will try. I will do my best. Of course, I do sidelines during the UNLV football and basketball games. It is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. The coach is here. Caleb Herring is here. This is a great setting. We're going to rotate the show each week from Parkway West to Parkway East. Parkway East over by GVR West right here at 215 and Flamingo. So come on by. We've got some tickets for the opening game against Southern Utah, so we can give those away. You can listen to the show. And we're all set. It seems like we were just together a few months ago. Has it been a long offseason?
I tell you what, it's gone faster than any offseason we've had. I mean, I can't believe we'll be back, but I'm excited to be back.
High hopes. And we'll get into the roster because there's been major changes on the roster. Crazy summer of late additions.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's a good thing. Caleb, how are you feeling coming into the season?
I feel good. I mean, it has been a long offseason for me. I think it, you know, a little bit slower for me. I wasn't as busy as Coach was, I'm sure, with all the stuff that he's been dealing with. Like you said, those late additions, getting the roster filled out, dealing with Fertitta Complex stuff, all that kind of stuff going on. But, no, I'm excited to be back. It's always a great time to be talking about football, and kicking off a great season. 2019 should be awesome for us.
That's a great point to mention, because part of the offseason and into the regular season is the football complex. How involved are you? Like, did you actually have to not go away at times during the summer because, you know, you're out there, like, as the foreman?
You know what? No,
you
know I got the foreman. We actually
got the hard hat on. It's like, come out now!
No, but I'll be honest. I was in a ton of meetings this summer, though. There's a lot of last-minute deals, last-minute details, some of the signage stuff, you know, some of the last-minute ordering. Wanted to make sure we get all the details right. So that's been fun. I mean, that's one of those deals. It's been fun to get out the guys, work and grind, and then take 30 minutes during the day and just kind of, you know, run through that facility, get you fired up, you know, about the future and everything. And those kids, I mean, just from, you know, the beginning of the whole construction process to the fruition to where it is now, for them to physically see that as they're grinding and working and to see all the construction going on behind them, they feel like they're building it because they really are.
I definitely felt like one of the kids when I first saw it.
Because, oh, yeah.
I mean, I saw it when it was at the dirt stage, and of course, and then I had been away for a while, and when fall camp started coming back around the team, seeing that thing in all of its glory out at Rebel Park was amazing. I mean, I'm mind blown by what it looks like. It's an amazing facility.
Well, I tell you, one of the neatest things is our alumni, ex-players, when they're coming back to practice, when they're coming to campus and they walk out there and they see it, I mean, they just swell with pride. I mean, it's just, some of them are just completely taken back by it. I mean, I don't think they realize the size and the scope and what it would really look like when it was all said and done. So that's an exciting piece of the puzzle.
And you mentioned the kids who have been here have seen it from beginning to end. But the other thing you got to see is guys come along for visits, so they get to see closer to the end product, and their first time looking at it. And we can't mention the commits by name, but you had commits come in, and they're like, this place is comparable to some of the biggest places in the country that they also visited.
Yeah, well, I mean, and one guy we can't talk about is, you know, Ray Jackson. You know, when Ray came in and took a look at it, I mean, I remember him walking in the locker room, and he looked at Skip and goes, wow, this is, you know, this is a nice one we had in Florida. You know, and that's a heck of a comment.
Really?
So, you know, that's just an exact comment, you know. So, now I'm sure they got great facilities. I have not seen their facilities, but we've had that repeatedly. You know, and some of the local kids we're recruiting now that have been to places, and, you know, the feedback you get, you know, and unsolicited feedback is like, you know, hey, this is as nice as anything we've seen. So that's good. I mean, again, it's all part of the puzzle. I mean, it's not the end-all, be-all of the puzzle, but what it does is it opens up the doors and it eliminates certain things that have gotten in the way of us recruiting. You know, I heard someone say recently, a kid never chose a place for a facility, but I'll tell you what, they sure have chosen not to go to a place because of a facility, and that's the truth. So those weren't going to be – between that and Allegiant Stadium in the future, those X factors are going to be completely out of the picture. So it's just about winning football games and continuing to stockpile talent and go out and have great seasons.
Coming in, bringing up Allegiant Stadium, I know this season there's been promotions about, you know, the season ticket sale and the fan faithfulness appreciation. I don't know the specifics, but the ticket sale for Allegiant Stadium, if you get season tickets this season, get the same price next season. A cool deal that developed over the offseason that trying to get some people out to Sanboy for the last season. So that's one of the cool things about Allegiant Stadium as well.
Well, I tell you what, I thought our administration, you know, Desiree and the crew did a really good job of, you know, thinking outside the box on that, you know. And as a result, we're the highest season ticket sales since 2010. So that's a big, big deal. So, hey, however we get them out there, it don't make a difference. Let's get them out there. And you know what? We put a good product on the field. More and more people will talk about it. More people keep showing up. So, you know, I know right now we've got quite a few tickets out for this first game. So we're ahead of where we were last year. So that's really exciting. Should have a big crowd out there. We need everyone to come on out to Sam Boyd, you know, for this first game in the final year. And I think as we play better and better and better, that momentum will grow, and we'll get more people out each week.
It's the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. Caleb Herring along with Steve Cofield. I'm going to repeat that again. So the Faithful Fan pricing plan is you buy season tickets this year at Sam Boyd. You are locked in for next year at Allegiant. The price is a slight uptick, but, I mean, it's basically the same price. We love Sam Boyd, but you're going into an NFL stadium. So think about it from a fan standpoint. There's going to be many of you out there because the Raiders sales, what I was reading the other day is I think they're at about 85 to 88% sold season tickets. So that's going to be a really hard ticket to get in for the NFL. You can get in and watch UNLV football at the stadium, get the same experience, but at UNLV prices this year. I mean, that is boffo. So I advise everyone to buy their tickets, season tickets this year, so you're locked in. And then obviously you have an advantage moving forward for UNLV tickets in the following years at the big stadium.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, I think it's a heck of a deal for families and people that want to, you know, get out to that stadium and see it. And then, you know, we do our job and we put a great product out there. I think this could be an unbelievable chain reaction for UNLV football. I mean, it's a chance for us not only to move to a new stadium, but to move in with a whole new era, a whole new culture of Rebel football that, you know, it gets the whole community excited about.
So we talked about kids going to the new football complex. How do you handle the stadium as it's growing, you know, through the construction stages and using that as a tool to recruit before it's done?
Yeah, so this last recruiting class, we drove them out there. You know, we drove them out to the construction site, but we're just on the kind of periphery, you know, looking at it. So now this year, working with them and, you know, getting into the construction site and walking around areas we can walk through, and because those kids are going to be playing in week one, you know, against Cal Berkeley. That's exciting. So when those kids walk through our facility and, you know, they walk into that stadium, I mean, it's going to – I mean, you talk about a complete 360 from where we were a bunch of years ago.
I'm just a fan of football, and I know when I drive by it right now, the skeleton of the stadium, I just get chills. Like, there's going to be an NFL – that stadium's going to be here. We're going to be able to access that and watch games there. Football inside of there. It gives me chills. I just imagine a recruit getting off a plane, going down there with a hard hat. This is going to be your field one day. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, it is, man. I mean, when you're driving down the 15 and you look up and you see the Raider logo and you see the UNLV logo right next to it, I mean, that's a cool thing. I mean, that's a really great thing for the city, for the university, and for our football program.
Parkway Tavern, Westside, 215 in Flamingo. It's the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. So before we get to roster breakdown, because there's been a lot of changes, we want to go position by position. Let's go through the offseason. First of all, did you have any time to relax?
Yeah, you know, I did. When we get towards the we got a spill there.
Got a spill.
It's all part of live radio.
We are live, so we are live. It happens live. That's
what
happens. I love
it, though, right? It's just like a game. We got to adjust
and adapt. Got to adjust and adapt. That's all it is.
Yeah, so what we did, you know, at the end of June, that last week of June, I believe the 24th or something, we got done with our camp season and got out of Dodge, you know, went down to SoCal to the beaches for a little bit, spent a week in Mexico, right? That was fun, and came on back, went down to Flagstaff for a little bit, and so a couple little trips here and there, but it was nice to kind of get some R&R.
So there's a lot of hands-off time during the summer when it comes to you guys dealing with the kids. So how do you manage that? You know, how much self-motivation and management of their own time does there have to be for the kids?
Well, we make sure they're never totally on their own. So the strength staff, they have different vacations than us, right?
Okay.
So, you know, we're gone for, I believe, like 18 days in a row. They're with the strength staff the whole time. Then we come back when the newcomers come in. Interesting thing this year is when the newcomers came in, I think there was only four guys because everyone came in the spring or at the beginning of the summer, which was nice. First time we've been able to do that. And then we took off again for a short amount of time. So, you know what? Our strength staff does a really good job. It's the same messaging, same expectations, and it was good. It was a good summer. And part of it, too, is our first year, fifth-year senior seniors. And the leadership that this group has shown has been so much more evolved than any group we've had. And we've had some really good guys, don't get me wrong. But when you start to see the majority of the guys who, you know, the older classmen are just holding the younger guys accountable, and, you know, there's an expectation and a standard, and they're living it every single day, it's made a huge difference.
That's one of the things as a player was the summers was when you realized that those were the times to make gains. And I think, like you said, the leadership is – guys in the locker room holding each other accountable. And I know for us, it was 7-on-7 and getting out there, throwing on the field. You know, coaches can't be present for that stuff, obviously, during the summer. But they're going to know when fall camp rolls around who is out there working and who's been really on vacation for the past 3 months. And guys taking ownership and being responsible, coming to camp ready to go.
Well, I'll tell you what, I told the guys at the end of practice today, and it's the first time I've ever told one of our UNLV teams this. I said, you no longer play on a team. You now play in a culture. And it's taken a while to do that. There are a lot of people all around, and they play on teams, but we want to be part of a culture, not just a team. And you're really starting to see that bleed through, man. Whether you're a one or a two, there's no jealousy involved anymore. There's competitive, you know, efforts going out. You know, if you're a scout team guy, you're giving max effort, not worrying about whether or not you're going to be playing on that Saturday game. Not that you don't want to be, but, I mean, you're just seeing that everywhere. Guys aren't late to meetings. I mean, they're doing the right things. And just the way they built their body up, their strength number, their power numbers, they've all gone up. And, you know, they're all taking care of eating right, you know, taking care of their academics. I mean, all these things that are just the whole global perspective of it. I mean, they're all going in the right direction.
And to go with that, there's something that I love that just came out recently. I guess this last couple of days where, I mean, to us it came out. I don't know, you've probably been preaching it all fall camp, was the 13, not 6.
Yeah.
That mentality, I guess, a part of that. Where did that come from, that mantra, that 13, not 6? I love it.
Well, because everybody kept asking our kids, and they kept asking me, can we get 6? Can we get 6? We said, the hell with 6. You know, our goal is to win 6 games. Why the hell do you want to win 6 games? You want to win more than that. So the first day of camp this year, I did a PowerPoint, and it had a bunch of different goals we had. It had a giant 13. And, you know, just the question was, what is that? And one of our kids yelled out, I think it was Jericho Flowers, the unscheduled game. I said, there you go. That's the goal. That's the goal. So the goal is not to get to 6. The goal is to have a season that we can all be proud of, that moves the program forward. We want to compete for a Western Division. And in that process, we want to make sure we get to play in the game that's not scheduled.
You talked about feeling like it's the first time these guys are in a culture, right? And you're building the culture along the way. One of the things that we've talked about a lot with you was needing to be player coached at times. Like the team can't rely on the coaches all the time. Do you feel like you're there now, that you've got a set of leaders who will step up, guys on the team who are going to coach?
You know what? Absolutely. And we've had it at times before, but, you know, when you have bumps in the road and you have injuries and you lose certain leaders and all of a sudden you have certain guys that lose confidence, you see the way it affects a group, right? And I think last year was a great growing moment for us because we lost our breath. I mean, we literally got the wind knocked out of us in the middle of that season. And for the way the guys took it upon themselves to regroup, to, you know, hunker down, to finish the season the way they did, and they took it into the off season. I mean, we're out there now, and after we get done stretching, there's no more coaches, all right, hey, bring it up today, let's have a good practice. Those days are long gone now. I mean, it's, hey, to blow the whistle, the seniors bring them up, they say what they got to say, and bam, you're off to the next drill, you know. And it was funny, Jericho Flowers walks up to me 2 days ago, and he said, he goes, man, I don't ever remember Tough Tuesday being this tough. He goes, but I never remember the whole team practicing at the same level of energy we had before. So it's one of those deals where they're all learning to push each other and stretch each other, and that's a good thing. And it didn't just happen this year. This is a process over the last 5 years to get to this point.
Yeah, and the Tony Sanchez Radio Show is brought to you by Finley Toyota for a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles, as well as no-hassle sales representatives. Come to Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. And again, we're live at Parkway Tavern, the new home of the Rebels on the Road, and the home of the Coach Sanchez Radio Show. Rebels on the Road, come join us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 for food and drink specials during the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. That is where we are at. And there's a live audience clapping it up here, enjoying some of Coach Sanchez's conversation. We're getting excited about the Rebel season. I mean, that's big for everybody. Everybody's coming out showing some support early.
So we're going to take break number one here. On the way back, we'll start going through the roster. I'm talking defense. I like talking defense.
Let's
before
go.
All the glamour of the offense. So that's on the way on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show right here on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Tony Sanchez Radio Show, Steve Cofield in for Russ Langer, Caleb Herring here, and of course the coach, Parkway Tavern, new location, 215 and Flamingo, will be on the east side every other week. We'll rotate the spots. We'll tell you more about Parkway Tavern if you have not been here. Spectacular joints, and we'll give you some menu items in a little bit. I do have some tickets for the opening game, so tickets are going briskly. A lot of season tickets are out there. Southern Utah is the opener. We'll get to that in just a little bit. All right, let's start going through. This is what's exciting. Let's start talking about where the roster is, the new additions, the growth with some of the holdovers. I said, hey, I'm not going to go for the glamour side of the ball. We're going to talk defense first. Now, that's a bit of a misnomer. There's glamorous guys on the defense. You have a big recruit on the defense. You got stars on the defensive side. I'm going to go to the middle of the defense to start.
Yep.
Let's talk linebackers, because this is where you have some of your best experience, and you also have tremendous upside with a newcomer.
We really do. I mean, when you look at it, we have six really good football players at the three spots. You know, right there in the middle, I mean, you talk about Ferrell Hester and Vic Viramontes. I mean, Vic obviously was a very highly touted recruit coming in. Ferrell's a guy who was just, I mean, just a winner. His whole career, he's done such a great job and really played, really well early in his career here. And now he's going into his junior year, so you've really seen his evolution. So a guy like Vic comes in who's big and long and fast, and Ferrell's in great shape right now. Those two guys have pushed each other neck and neck and neck and neck. And I love the fact that Ferrell didn't just roll over. I mean, he said, nah, this is my job, right? And Vic's kept a great attitude about it, and it was great. It was funny. I noticed last night Vic had a tweet he sent out, and it was something like, you know, if you want to hunt, you got to be around other lions, right? And he had a picture of him and Ferrell. So I love the way they've embraced each other in the competition. But you have two really good football players there, and we all know how paper thin we've been. You lose a guy in the middle, and all of a sudden the drop-off's been huge. That's not the case anymore. Then you look over at the Will spot, and you got Ray Jackson that just came on in, and he's a heck of a football player right there. You know, and Malachi Salu, who's been around through the spring. We redshirted him last year. He played in four games, and we decided to redshirt. Thank goodness we did. Now he's a big, you know, just under 6'3", 230-pound kid. He's had a great spring. He's had a great fall camp. Ray comes in, knows the defense, right? He's familiar with it from being with Tim. So that's why when people are like, oh, God, that's kind of quick to have him in there. Well, he's walking into the same system, so there's no learning curve right there. So that's a really good thing. So, again, having two guys there that are interchangeable is big. And then Javon White, we all know he's special. He's had a great career, you know, big pick at the end of the season last year. And right behind him is Gibbs. So you've got, again, six guys that have all played really, really solid good football. And you're going to see all six of them on Saturday night. I mean, it's not one of those deals where, all right, if someone's struggling, the other guy will go in. No, all six are going to play and play a bunch.
So Javon White, one of the guys that stood out to me just looking at him physically, he's really embraced the linebacker gig. And he's put on some weight. Like, that guy's committed on the field. And he's one of the guys, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the energy guy that will get guys and hold guys accountable in the locker room, one of those kind of guys.
Every single day. I mean, he's a vocal leader. I mean, he's always in everybody's face about doing the right thing. And he's transitioned from being a guy who was kind of like, you know, no, you can't do it, to being a positive guy. I mean, he's a positive leader now. He's learned, and I think it comes with maturity. You know, you got to be around it for a while. You got to experience, you know, some highs and lows, and he's done that. And, I mean, that's one of the reasons he's a captain. So that's really, really exciting.
You played the game, so you know this. I'm gonna give the media guy perspective of defense on the sideline and why that's so key about the positive deal. So working the sidelines last year, when you guys struggled on defense, that is gut check time. And I would watch, you know, who was positive, who was negative. I'm telling you, it's massive, because the negativity builds.
Yeah.
And then you start infighting, and then all of a sudden you're not playing well, and then your focus is off.
There's no doubt. I mean, that frustration sets in, and it's inevitable. It's going to happen, but you have to have older guys. You have to have leaders to bring everybody back. You know, coaches can do it, but, man, I'll tell you what, when it's player-driven, it's a big, big deal, you know. So it comes with confidence, and what happens when confidence gets shaken? I don't care if it's football, if it's life, if it's business, if it's family, whatever it is, what do? You start to panic a little bit, and, you know, and you can get negative real fast. So I think it's one of those deals. Learn to be a little even-keeled about those situations and being positive. And, hey, at the end of the day, how do you succeed in life? Problem solve. And that's what you got to do. You got to problem solve things, and you got to work through things.
Yeah, so like you said, being positive on the side is harder on defense, in my opinion, from playing, because defensively you're going to take some losses. I mean, there's plays where you're going to get beat. Not everybody's going to be in, you know, a negative play. That third, first down of a series, you're like, okay, let's regroup, let's get ourselves together. And like you said, Javon's switching to that positive side, and guys really looking to him as a leader on the defense. I think that's also what I've been noticing at scrimmages during practice. Guys are looking to him like, yeah, we'll follow Javon's lead.
And there's no doubt. Him and Gabe McCoy, those are the two guys that they really followed. You know, I've always said, you know, the biggest difference between offense and defense is offense is an out card. They can punt. You know, defense doesn't get to do it. You know, things don't work out for the, oh, we just punt the ball and
we go
get some water, right?
Right.
Defensively, it don't work out that way. So it's you got to be a tough-nosed son of a gun to be a great defensive player and to have a great defensive team.
So let's talk about the back end.
Yeah.
That is an area you absolutely needed to improve on. You had some moments last year where you're pretty good, but you got beat to hell.
Yeah.
I mean, it got so thin, it prompted a change of a player from offense to defense. So let's start first in the middle of the field with the safeties and the look in terms of depth and the starters.
So you got another fifth-year senior, Evan Ostry, who's played really well when he's been in there, but he's had some injuries. You know, you go back to 2 years ago, and he had a severed liver during the Air Force game and missed almost the whole season there. And then he comes back, you know, last year got hurt, and, you know, I mean, he missed like two or three games right there in the, during that main stretch. But he's healthy. He looks good right now. He's experienced. I mean, physically, he looks like a whole different guy. So excited about him. And Drew Techman, he was a guy we moved over because, you know, again, coming out of high school, highly recruited defensive back. He looked good immediately, but now he's been trained up. Now he knows the system. He's had a good spring. He is by far the most athletic guy we have in the secondary. He can play corner. He can play safety. He can play nickel. He's an interchangeable guy that can go anywhere. I mean, he's a legitimate 4-3 guy. The vertical's 40 inches, and he's got good hands. So it's good to have a guy like that back there. Behind him, Phillip Hill's done a really good job of emerging. Still a young guy, redshirt freshman. You want to see him progress. And then Greg Francis, a local kid out of Gorman. So, you know, those two guys, they've gotten better each and every day. We need to really see them kind of pick it up so we have some depth there. So a little thinner there as far as experience, you know, than the linebacking core, but we want those young guys to pick it on up.
Let's talk about the outside.
Yeah, so again, when we look at our first two corners, I really like Jericho Flowers, really like Plummer, right? Miles, you know, Miles reminds me of Robert Jackson. Robert Jackson's a guy that came in his junior year, struggled coming out of junior college, had a good offseason, and by about 3 or 4 weeks into his senior year, really started playing some good football. Well, now he's, what, 2 years in the NFL, right, doing a really good job. You look at Miles Plummer, he's a 6'2 corner. He's about 190 pounds. He's got that year of experience under his belt. He's playing with a lot more confidence. I think you're about to see an entirely different guy that's going to play at a whole different level. So, really, you know, when we recruited him, we thought he could be that. He lacked some confidence last year. I think that stuff's been corrected. We're going to find out here in about 48 hours.
Right.
And then Jericho Fowlers, you know, another – I keep saying fifth-year senior, another fifth-year senior. Been around the program. When he's healthy, he's as good as they get. You know, love him and his ability. And then, again, behind those guys, we got a host of guys that are fighting to be that extra corner. So, again, when I look at the area on defense that we're thin, it definitely is the back end when it comes to the two deep, right? Got some really good players there, but we need some young guys to step up.
You mentioned Miles Plummer's length, 6'2". At corner, that was like one of my worst nightmares, is going against a tall corner playing quarterback, because you can't just throw it over him. You can't really beat him with the ball much because he's so long. Do you play matchups with the corners on the edges, or do you guys just go size? Like, let's just keep them on their same side. But if you got a 6'5 guy, do you want Miles on him to cover that deep threat or to cover the jump ball, or do you just say Jericho can handle the two?
You know, I think it's kind of game to game. We've done a little bit of both, but, you know, everyone traditionally plays that X receiver. You know, he's going to be the big long guy. Everyone's got a 6'4", 6'5 guy out there, and, you know, so that helps with that matchup. You know, we brought in a young guy, not really ready yet, but a guy named Jamal Hamm, you know, who's a 6'3" corner. He's got really good hips, so we've got to develop him. So, you know, we definitely wanted to address that. And, you know, and then the interesting guys too is the guy that can move out and help with depth at the safety spot and also play the nickel is Javen White, because remember, he started his career off as a safety, and then Demetrius Gibbs also started his career off. So we've done a lot. Our whole thing this year, and we've talked about it in the past, you know, is just get your best 11 out there no matter what you do. I mean, if you got to play one less corner, play with an extra back, there's a lot of different schemes. We are really going to be player driven this year, offensively and defensively.
The guys at the back end massively helped by and really interconnected to the front. You got to create pressure. It makes it easier on the guys on the back end. You don't create pressure, then, you know, they could be in trouble. So this defensive line has good returnees. You added a bunch of new players as well. And then you got young guys you're growing. So go across the defensive line.
Yeah, man. So if I look at defensive end spot first year, you got Nate Neal going into his junior year. Played a bunch last year. Had a great offseason. I tell you what, he's going to give us some really good snaps this year. I mean, I think people are really going to know who he is when it's all said and done. Excited about him. And he's sharing the spot with Nick Dadashian. And Nick is probably the twitchiest, most athletic guy we have on the defensive line. I mean, he's a guy we projected to be, you know, first-team all-conference guy. Missed the entire year last year, so we'll work to get that year back, so he should have two to go. But he's a 280-pound guy that's as athletic and as twitchy as they come. Excited about him. And then you move inside. Kolo Yusike was absolutely dominant in those last 3 weeks last year. I mean, you look at what he did to that San Diego State O-line, the Hawaii O-line, and that Reno O-line. He decimated him. I mean, if you sit down and watch film on him, he was unblockable. And he's added that extra offseason. I mean, he squatted 585 five times, you know,
my
completely
goodness.
Parallel. You know, he's a almost 500-pound bench presser, and he's, you know, he's a three-time state champion wrestler out of Arizona. He came in at 350 pounds. Now he weighs 300 pounds. So he's worked himself into that type of body you need to have. have to really go. And then Tavis Malakias, another JUCO guy, came in as a sophomore last year. He's had a tremendous offseason. Those are your two starters there. And then the thing I love and the hardest thing about JUCO guys is we want them to contribute right away, but it's hard sometimes. So you got Dominion Ezenwa and Montrese Johns. Mm-hmm. Now these are two guys who came in, and I love them. They would not deny this. They came in goofy. They didn't understand it. You know, walking out, picking their hair and this and that. It's like, dude, serious about what we're doing.
They're massive.
Last, chance.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, what are you doing? And I tell you what. So you take Montrese. Montrese came in again at 350. He's 315 pounds now. Wow. He's committed himself to playing ball. You know, Dominion's a guy who's, I mean, he's a 6'5", 290 pound guy. Runs well, and he's all in. So those four guys in the middle are going to be fantastic. So, and then Gabe McCoy, fifth-year senior, you know, playing the Rebel spot. And then behind him, Jacoby Windham. Now, Gabe is out this week because he was granted the extra year of eligibility, so he has to sit one game because he played in one game his freshman year. Mm. And Jacoby Windham, him and Armani Rogers are the two most athletic players we've ever recruited, you know, as true freshmen to come on in. This kid is, I can't wait. I'm going to grab my popcorn when he runs into the game, go jump into the bleachers and watch him. I'm
briefly
excited.
I want you to tell the story again about how you found Windham, because that was not the target, right, when you went on the recruiting trip.
Yeah, Travis Mumphrey, the quarterback, you know, we had an idea about him because of Skipper. He had gone to a camp there, but he's kind of one of those underdeveloped guys. But we went out to watch Travis Mumphrey, and this kid intrigued the heck out of us. Then we come back home, and the next week, Travis goes down in the game. He's hurt. So there's about 4 minutes left in the game. They put Jacoby in at quarterback. He runs a two-minute drill, leaves him down, throws a game-winning touchdown pass. And
I'm just like,
okay, this guy's a player. You know, we got to have him.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, so we're lucky we got him.
The Tony Sanchez Radio Show is brought to you by Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, we speak 14 different languages. No matter how you say it, you'll always get a great deal at Finley Toyota. Coach, you talked about Nick Dashian. What's it, his journey back from injury? I mean, he missed all of season. I know as a player that has to hurt. It has to be devastating. I know on his Twitter account, I saw a video of him working out on the beach and just absolutely getting after it one day. Just how athletic he is, like you said, at his size.
Oh, yeah.
And then recently I saw a tweet that he's just chomping at the bit to get out there, where he has chill bumps as if it's his first game to come back, and he's excited about it. What can we expect from him?
I tell you what, he is going to be he's going to be held off the edge for people. I mean, he is twitchy. He plays with his hands well, really athletic. He's a knee bender, and he's got a great motor. And again, in the past, we've had some good guys, but they've had to play 80 snaps a game, 90 snaps a game. You might get him out for two or three plays, and then you're so worried about what's behind him to get him back in. Nick's probably going to play 35 to 40 snaps, you know, and Nate Neal's going to play 35 to 40 snaps or if more. I mean, they're going to be able to split time. So a fresh Nick Dashian is he's going to be fun to watch.
We have a lot to get to here on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show as we turn the page to the second half of the show here at Parkway Tavern. We're going to talk about the schedule, the upcoming opponent in Southern Utah, and certainly the offense. And, yes, we'll give plenty of time to the guy, Armani Rogers, as we roll on Tony Sanchez Radio Show right here, UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. Oh, yeah, we're ready. Tony Sanchez Radio Show, second half of the show, Parkway Tavern, as we're hanging out here at 215 and Flamingo. Will rotate to both sides of town each and every week. Offense coming up here in less than 60 seconds. We're excited about this offense.
Tony Sanchez Radio Show is brought to you by Cox. Don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Concert Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more.
Armani Rogers, you know, we talk about him every year, and this is pivotal. We saw what happened last year. He goes down in the middle of the season. It's a different team. He's got to stay healthy, and then he's got to make that next step in terms of accuracy and be able to make all the throws, especially the short, easier throws, the ones that, you know, he can throw 1,000 miles an hour, but you got to make it catchable.
Yep, you're 100% right. I mean, obviously, I mean, those are big things, the stuff that you just said. I mean, number one, got to stay healthy. When he's healthy, we got a chance to beat anybody on the schedule. And then in order for him to evolve, to take it to that next level as an individual player and for us as a program, you know, he's going to have to be, you know, he's going to have to be really efficient, especially in that short passing game. We've spent a ton of time on it, you know, throughout the offseason, the spring, the summer. Coach Justice has come in and just done a really, really good job picking up where, you know, Barney left off. And we're really, really conscious of Armani, his skill set, and making sure that we give him some good, easy throws. The one thing about it now is that we've got a host of receivers around him that are by far deeper and more talented than we've ever had. We've always had two or three guys. We have seven guys that can play at any point, and we don't mind any of them getting the ball thrown to them, you know, and that's a big deal. So Armani, his whole thing is distribution. Get the ball to the athlete in space organically. He's going to make some amazing plays.
I was going to say that one of the easiest ways as a quarterback to get a rhythm is just get it to your guys. Like the new toys that he has right now in his back pocket are his biggest thing to lean on. And the easy throws are going to be his best friend.
No doubt about it. You know, and just him thinking through situations and knowing you don't got to score on every snap. You know, get the balls out through space, let them do their things. But, like, for example, today, you know, just a great evolution with him. You know, we're in an every down period, right? So it could be a first or a second. You know, it's not a third down period or anything like that. And so the first play of the script, we have an option to run, or we have a nine route on the outside, right? And he looks back at Coach Justice. He goes, "Hey, what's the down and distance?" He goes, "First and 10. So he takes a shot, you know, and
yeah.
He wanted to know. It's like, should I take a shot on this play or not? You know, but it wasn't prompted. He does that himself. So it's him thinking through it and understanding, you know, when do you want to be risky and when do you want to go ahead and just move the chains and sticks. And his accuracy this camp's been phenomenal. I think part of it, too, has been the way in which we've called the plays.
You're putting a lot on him, too, though, because if you're going to go with more RPO, right, run-pass option, quarterback's got to make a decision an awful lot. So how much RPO are you going to run? And then you also got to balance. The beginning of the conversation was keep him healthy.
No doubt. You know, but a lot of those RPOs are, you know, I mean, he's got the option to hand it, to pass it, and some of it's run, but it's run protected, you know. And then when he does run, he's got to make good decisions, and he's okay to go down. The one thing is our offense has never been really simple. Even when we weren't doing as much of the RPO stuff, we have so much variety in our run game. And I'll be quite honest with you, we've taken some of that out. You know, we've kind of simplified that part because we've added the RPO. But we got inside man assigned zone. We got, you know, inside area zone. We've got split zone. And you know, we've got so many varieties of every single thing that we do. We've actually taken the menu, and we've almost cut it in half this year. So we've really simplified it a little bit to add room for some of those RPOs because you can't just keep adding to it.
The relationship between the quarterback and the offensive coordinator is something that I always felt was important.
Yeah.
So with Coach Justice taking over, how has that relationship been developing over this offseason?
It's been really good. You know, Garen immediately, you know, came right in the office. We found out on the break,
right.
You know, about it, and he cut what he was doing short, came right back in, you know, to meet with Armani, to sit down and make sure they got on the same page. And, you know, he met with every single guy in the offensive unit individually and just made sure everyone had a level of comfort with where it was going and what their role was and what he was doing. And we've really seen that, you know, and Armani's one of those sponges. He's always up in the office talking to Coach Odell. We're talking to Coach Justice, just trying to get more and more information. And he's another guy elected captain because he just does a really good job. His level of care is at an all-time high. I mean, he's one of those guys who, man, he doesn't just want to have a good career for himself. He wants us to win. He wants to win for the university, for his teammates, and he's a special guy. And I believe in my heart of hearts he's going to have an unbelievable year.
Tony Sanchez Radio Show, Parkway Tavern, Game 1 this Saturday. Get your tickets. Southern Utah is in town, and then the schedule explodes from there. All right, let's talk about the weapons.
Yep.
This is, you know, also the evolution of the program. A couple of years ago, we would talk to you about receivers, and it had gotten so thin, you know, you're moving quarterbacks out to receiver. You just mentioned, we got seven guys we can play, and here's the thing with the seven guys. You got little guys, you got medium-sized guys, you got big guys, you got burners, you got guys who can cross and make catches.
Yep.
I mean, this is what looks like the most complete receiving core you've ever had.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, when you talk about big guys and you look over at that X spot, you know, the big long guy you want, Randall Grimes, you know, who just transferred back in from USC, Desert Pines grad, he looks really, really good. I mean, it's, you know, he's still a sophomore right now. There's still some things he needs to learn. But when it comes to skill set and ability, he's pretty special. I mean, he can go. So his whole thing is just mentally staying in the pocket, working through things, you know, learning how to finish, you know, learning how to block downfield, things like that. And when he does it as good as anybody I've ever seen. He's just got to continually do it. But he's going to make some big plays for us this year. And behind him, Patrick Ballard, you know, Patch, you know, a sophomore now. And, again, you know, both those guys, you're sitting there looking at a 6'4 guy, you're looking at another 6'5 guy, and you know they're both well over 200 pounds, and they're big physical guys. So excited about that spot. You go to the other side, and you got Tylee Collins, who he was a great playmaker for us last year, and you got to keep him in the pocket. Gets a little squirrely on us sometimes, you know. He's one of those personalities, but man, when he's focused, he can go. And Stevie Jenkins out of Narbonne, I mean, he's probably as ready-made of a freshman receiver as we've ever had. I mean, he understands the game. He's unbelievable in the film room, asks the right questions. He's a hard worker and a grinder, and he's just a natural ball catcher. You know, every once in a while you've seen Tyreek drop a ball here and there, Randall drop a ball here and there. They're getting better at it. I mean, Stevie, you know, and hopefully the jitters don't get to him, you know, playing Division I football, but, I mean, from what we've seen in camp, I mean, he's Johnny on the spot. He catches everything. So excited about that. And then he moved to the inside, and we got three really good players on the inside. So you got Darren Woods, right? You got Gasser, and you got Mekhi Stevenson. So all of a sudden, and Darren can play all three spots. Mekhi can play all three spots. Gasser will stay in the middle. So now you got all of a sudden, you got all these interchangeable parts right there. And obviously, Darren's the fifth-year senior, strong guy, big physical,
huge.
225
huge
pounds, a 6'2". You know, Mekhi is kind of your make a guy miss guy. And then Gasser, I'll tell you what, he's what a great get he's been. I mean, he has been fantastic for us. I think he's a guy that's going to become a fan favorite real fast, you know, and he'll be our starting punt returner too.
Tony Sanchez Radio Show is brought to you by Finley Toyota, or Finley Chevrolet. Finley Chevrolet is your home for...
Woo!
Come by today and see why thousands have made the switch to...
Woo!
Finley Chevrolet, located on the 215 Beltway between Rainbow and Jones, Nevada's number one volume Chevrolet dealer. Find new roads.
On the way back, we're going to talk about the offensive line. We'll also, we're not going to forget the guy who's, you know, dual, the guys who are dual offensive line and also pass catchers, the tight ends. You're listening to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show from UNLV Sports Network, Learfield, IMG College. Tony Sanchez Radio Show back, the debut show here at Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo. We rotate to the east side next week. I think I'm getting dessert tonight because I'm not fat enough. The Parkway Pretzel Sundae.
Looks good.
I'm down with. You want some?
That just sounds that amazing. Good,
is that okay for a Division I football coach to share a Sundae with the sideline guy? It's a little
no
weird.
Dessert until we find out the results, right? You
okay.
Win first.
All right. Is that right? for winning? All right. Well, let's get into the offense here. Well, we can continue on the offense. I actually think offensive line is going to take the least amount of time to talk about because this clearly, again, is a group that you've got depth with. You've got interchangeable players. And we could have spent a lot of time in the past like, wow, the offensive line. That's not the reaction anymore.
No, we returned four of the five starters. Excited about that. You know, you got, if you just start on the left side, you got Ashton Morgan who – you know, again, we're big up front this year. I mean, we're extremely big. I mean, he's a 6'5", 320-pound guy, and he's a sophomore. And he had a heck of a year last year, and he's had a good camp. You know, he's got to keep on grinding, and he's got a lot of good football ahead of him, so excited about him. You come inside from there, you have Matt Brayton, who's a junior this year, and, started, all the way down the stretch last year, got a lot of good snaps behind him. So, again, veteran guy, excited. Sitacosta, started the whole season last year. You know, he's kind of the leader of that group. They really look to him, and, he's got a good, strong personality, and excited. And then Justin Polu, man, I mean, everyone who's a Rebel fan should be so proud of that guy. He started every single game of his entire career so far, never missed a start. So, if he stays healthy, I mean, you're talking about a guy that just in the regular season is going to have 48 consecutive starts. I mean, that's amazing
that's
for a big offensive lineman.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, in Silverado High School, local kid, and he's a guy that, from the experience from the guys that I've coached, he's a guy that'll play on Sundays. And then Justice Olawashone, who is the most talented offensive lineman we've got by far, and he's a junior this year, and we were just talking about him. I mean, he's a mean son of a gun. I mean, if there's a skirmish going on in the practice field, I guarantee he's in the middle of it, right? But you want that type of attitude. Julio Garcia is kind of our swing man. He'll play both guards and center spots. We were able to, with the four-game rule, we were able to redshirt him last year, so we have him for two more years, so he's a junior. And then we have Jaron Caldwell, who's dealing with that Liz Frank foot injury. Really bothered him, the last couple of years, so we're going to strategically use him. He can come in and play tackle any game on either side of the ball. So I think having those seven guys right there is really big. And then there's a host of other guys that can come on in and give us good reps.
Tight end?
Tight end, Giovanni Fallo, team captain, going into his junior year. I mean, he is a complete football player. Does a phenomenal job in the run game. I'd say probably him and our freshman receiver we talked about, Stevie, those are probably the two best hands guys on the team. I mean, he doesn't drop anything. I mean, just does a really good job. So excited about him. And then Noah Bean's the guy that has the most potential. I mean, he's the guy you can line up a wide out, line him up in the slot, play tight end. He's learning to love the block. It took a long time for him to learn to love that, but he's understanding how important that is to the game. And then you have Shelton Zion, who is, he's an Adonis. I mean, he's just under 6'6". He's 250 pounds. He runs well. He's just a young guy, redshirt freshman. So, again, he's a guy that I think as the year goes on, you'll see him start to progress. So those three guys really hold the fort down there. And then the fullback spot, you got to throw in Godfrey there, another local guy. He's kind of that hammerhead. And then Jamal Neal, who's kind of that tight end / H-back. Those five guys there give us a lot of different parts.
So running back, you guys could be freaking out right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you lose a guy who was a game breaker. I mean, he was a great player in Lexington Thomas, but you have experience back, but it's also in infused with some really explosive young dudes.
No doubt. You know, I mean, again, that's the whole art of recruiting, right? I mean, you got to make sure you keep filling the coffer. Sometimes it's easier to say than done. But Charles Williams, we feel great about him. You know, I mean, Lex was out at our last scrimmage. It was great to see him. And, you know, he came up to me afterward. He goes, "Wow, Chuck's ready to go. Chuck's ready to take this thing." I mean, it was good to hear that from Lex. But, you know, we've all seen that. Charles got an unbelievable – I think it's his birthday today, too, so happy birthday if you're listening.
Happy birthday, Charles.
I saw that on social media today. He's a great kid. You know, he's you know, the fastest. I mean, believe it or not, he's even faster than Lex, you know. So, I mean, he
really?
Can – oh, yeah. I mean,
he runs so hard. He runs so physical.
Yeah. I mean, he's the only guy in the state of California to go to the finals in the 100 and 200 his senior year. I mean, he can flat-out fly. So, excited about him. And then, you know, Courtney Reese adds a neat little piece to it. You know, he reminds us of Lex. You know, he's sitting there. You got to throw him in the shower before he plays to get him to, like, 158 pounds, you know. But man, he can go. I mean, he's a quick son of a gun. Great hands, really interchangeable. Got to use them a lot of different ways. And then Darren Williams, you know, he's a guy who came from junior college, really explosive. He's getting the, you know, we've talked about pass so many times. He's getting that part down. He gets that part solidified, and, you know, and I really like that group.
Running back by committee has been kind of what it's been lately. I mean, Lex obviously took most of the carries.
Yeah.
But is it going to be much of the same, or has somebody separated themselves as the clear number one guy?
Charles separated himself. I mean, I think Charles is your 220 game of carry guy, but I think, you know, Lex didn't really have that frame for that. You know what I'm saying? He's still slight. So, I mean, Charles is a guy that if you had to hand the ball to him 25 times on a night, you know him weighing right at 200 pounds, I mean, you have no problem with that.
Up next, we get into Southern Utah. We'll also talk about some early impressions around the Mountain West Conference. It's the Tony Sanchez Radio Show from the UNLV Sports Network, Learfield, IMG College. All right, down the stretch, Tony Sanchez Radio Show, Parkway Tavern here, 215 and Flamingo. It's Cofield in for Russ Langer. The coach is here. Caleb Herring is here as well.
Tony Sanchez Radio Show is brought to you by OurID.com. is giving away $10,000. To one lucky fan if the Rebels score a safety during this season. Make sure to go to unlvrebels.com/ourid to register for your chance to win.
So I love football. I love the attitude around football. I love Hard Knocks. You know, anyone who listens to my show locally knows that I'm totally into football. I wish our radio station ran like a football program and we just got to scream at each other and fight.
What were you just saying on the radio? I was listening on the way here that you're not fired up about this year's Hard Knocks, or is that somebody else?
No, it wasn't me. No. Okay. You'll never get me, especially with Gruden. So yeah. One of the great things with the Raiders.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
Knock on wood. One of the great things with Gruden is they've done those rookie talent shows, and they showed some good ones, and then last night they showed just some freaking disasters. Guys who couldn't sing, and Gruden's like, all right, that's it. We're done. Have you guys done this, but, like, responsibly?
We did. We did a rookie talent show, and it was kind of funny because we always do different team-building activities, but Armani and Javen White came and asked me on media day, hey, can we do a rookie talent show? And so we said he can do talent, or you can do, what do you call it?
I mean, impersonations.
Impersonations. Yeah. There you go. I was looking for the word. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that thing starts off, Jackson McCullough comes in and does Coach Justice, and then it was unbelievable. You know, Travis Mumphrey came in and did me and got me really good. But the funniest guy, as soon as he's done playing, he's got to go to Hollywood and become a comedian, is Randall Grimes. He did hit Coach Cormier.
It's always a receiver.
How about the stones on this guy? He's just got here.
Hey, his comedic timing, I haven't laughed that hard in my life. I felt like the movie Coming to America, I was in the barbershop. You know, I mean, it was so funny, man. So that, you know what, it's so good, though, to let those guys get out there and get a chance to kind of poke at you a little bit, you know, in a good way. And it was funny. The D-line, they danced. And, I mean, it was the whole team had a really good, you know, camp's a grind, so it's good to have those moments.
Opening game, Saturday night.
Yep.
You know, relative unknown opponent to most of the fans around Las Vegas, even though it's just up the road, Southern Utah.
Well, we had to remind our guys. I mean, the last time that Southern Utah came to town, I think they won 42-17.
Yeah,
so
I know
that's,
that.
You
I know
that. That's kind of a scary deal, right? So, you know, our guys, you know, we're not going to overlook anybody. We know who we are. We know our past. We know what our goals are and what we're trying to get done here. So our guys have stayed laser focused. It's really going to be about us and us going out and executing. But DeMario Warren's a great guy. I've known him a long time. Ed Lamb was a really good friend of mine, and who used to be the former head coach there, hired DeMario. I've watched DeMario take over and do a great job there. And they're a team that's coming off a tough season, and they're trying to rebound too. So similar to us. So, you know, they got Coach Jeff Fisher. His son is the defensive coordinator. New, he's been out of coaching for the last 2 years, and his whole career has been in the NFL. So there's a lot of unknowns there. We assume it's going to be a 4-3, but we practice for everything. You know, we got to be ready for a lot of different things as far as defense, you know, their defense. You know, offensively, we believe they're going to come out and be a high tempo, fast fast-paced team. They played three quarterbacks last year due to injuries, and all three had over 100 pass attempts. So when you're watching film, you got to break it up. You see so many different types of offenses. At one point, they had a guy number 87 who was a quarterback for a couple of games. You know, so you got to look at that. And then on special teams, they're going to stress you. They're going to run a lot of different stuff, trick plays and such. We got to be ready for everything.
Got to be ready for everything. FCS school is going to come out and bring all the tricks out of the bag. I think it's going to be fun, though. Start off the season at home, which is great for Rebel football.
Absolutely.
Starting off in Vegas. They're going to be coming up to some heat out of Cedar Hill. It's not 107 degrees out there, so it'll be fun on Saturday night.
About 15 seconds on this. Good start for the conference. Hawaii looked nice against Arizona. That's
great.
That's a dangerous team.
Oh, man, I texted Coach Wolovich. Man, I said, man, great job. That's great for the conference. That's a big, big win. I vote for all of our teams in conference to win all the big games except for Reno.
You never – yeah. All right, that'll do it. Make sure you visit us at Parkway Tavern. You've been listening to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on UNLV Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.